Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves. We are here live in the Big Apple, New York City. And I've been, as you know, running around grabbing up all my people, and who should wander by but our good friend Sheila Goff from the AKC Government Relations. And she is going to talk to us about some stuff that I think is pretty important on all of our minds. We are going to talk about flying our dogs.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sheila.
Okay, well, it's great to be here in New York.
Good New York.
See you on the East Coast.
It's about the only time I get to see you. You don't fly west, girl, I'm saying.
Yeah, I did. You can
do it. I missed it. It was my dog show, what can I say? So, yeah. The Delta thing on Monday, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we all really kind of gulped when we saw the new announcement Monday that Delta, after March 1st, isn't going to be flying dogs in crates larger than 300. So 400 size up crates are out. And the thing that was really a concern to us is, hey, this really impacts our dog shows. This really impacts our ability to breed some of our dogs.
Right.
And the other thing was, I think we all agree, we truly care that our dogs are flown as safely as possible. So there's no disagreement about that. But the question to Delta, and this is what I raised Delta this week, was, why? Can you be more transparent? Can you tell us why it is? Because we're willing to work with you to create a solution, but we need to understand why it is when you put an announcement out there that you're not flying. Well, why?
Randomly, out of nowhere.
Why is it suddenly, right, not as safe to fly a large dog as it is to fly a small dog? I did have a conversation with some folks at Delta, and some of what I learned was that they are having problems with plastic crates degrading. Larger dogs tend to be stronger dogs. When they're in a degraded plastic crate, they tend to get out of the crates. Those crates tend to fail. So we learned after sort of pulling some teeth that that was part of the problem. So one of the things that we're doing now is to say, well, okay, this sounds like an engineering problem.
Right.
We really want you to be more transparent with us. We're like partners here. We care about the health and safety. Believe us. We don't want you to ship a dog if it's not safe. That's not an issue. But tell us how we can make it easier for you to ensure that we can ship our dogs safely. And so what we're learning now is, hey, this is an engineering problem. We're learning that there have been problems with crates sold at the various pet stores that have been misrepresented as being safe and approved by IATA when they're not. So our next step is to actually to be meeting with some folks at Delta,
right,
and to really go through what can we do to fix this problem. If it's an engineering problem,
right. Fine.
If it's a problem of certain health tests, we're open and willing to do that,
right,
but we definitely want a solution.
And AKC is doing that.
Absolutely.
I think that's, this is the point I really want people to hear.
Yeah.
AKC is working.
We have been talking to them, and you know, and I'll tell you, I should have put some information out. I did not put anything out this week, and I kind of felt bad about it, but we were so busy trying to gather information,
right,
we didn't get it. We want people to be concerned about it. We didn't want people to freak out that they wouldn't be able to get their dogs home from Westminster.
Right.
That's
right.
The thing to keep in mind is starting March 1st.
Right.
So that's really soon. It does not impact Westminster, thank God. We will be putting more information out. Also, USDA has put out more information this week about flying your dogs, so that will be helpful as well. And that's all going to be available on our website, so people can check that out. And we'll be providing continuous, you know, sort of updates with Delta and also with the other airlines. The concern here, we were talking about this earlier, is, you know, one airline starts something, then the others.
Well, and, you know, certain other airlines, I think of United Airlines.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about that, the example I gave. This is a personal experience. I have a 50-pound wire-haired pointer bitch that they want me to fly in a 700 dog crate. There is no reason for this bitch to fly in a 700 dog crate. Zero.
Absolutely not. And one of the things that we're doing in trying to really develop strong relationships with airlines, and we're doing this for a variety of reasons, because we're also working on the detection dog issues.
Right.
We're working on the service dog issues.
Right.
And so, thankfully, we've developed some of those relationships, and we can now reach out to them on this. But to your point, you put a small dog in a large crate, we all know that's not safe. It's like a BB bouncing around in a beach ball.
Exactly.
you know, when we're on a plane, we ourselves are buckled in. And guess what? We can't stand up and turn around.
No. We can barely breathe.
I know. You know, and we put our kids in kids' seats. We want them to be safe. God forbid you slam on the brakes. You don't want them becoming a projectile and flying through the windshield. It's the same thing with our dogs. And one of the things that we're really trying to do is explain that. You want the dogs to be in a very secure, safe crate. If that means the flights are shorter, that's something to consider. So we're also trying to find out, okay, what are the options? And can you tell us, while we're at it, what really happens once we let go of those dogs and they go down underneath into the cargo space? Because that's something most of us really don't know what happens. My experience has been, I hand the dog over, they come back on the plane, they hand me a little ticket, say, this, your dog is loaded, and I don't see them again until I land wherever I am.
Right. So it seems like there's lots of opportunities here for the American Kennel Club to be working with the airlines and holding up, say, for example, holla, Alaska Airlines, as the heaven that we're all trying to achieve here.
And we're worried that they will follow suit, though.
No, please, no.
Yeah.
No. Because they are great. They are great with the dogs, great customer service, really responsible, really love the dogs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really seem to actually care as a corporate environment. So that's your piece. What's our piece as fanciers? What is it that we can actually do that would have some impact?
I think one of the most valuable things we can do is, I think we're all, first of all, kind of angry about it, understandably, but to really think about what it is that we can do to concisely explain to them our experience with shipping dogs. And a lot of it is common sense. Explain why you don't want a dog that's a small dog in a large crate bumping around because it's not safe. Their concerns, consider they're a business. Their concerns are going to be liability, getting those dogs safely there. And we kind of need to think like the airlines. Mm. And it's the same thing that we do with legislation, is kind of trying to think, okay, where are they coming from? How can we work with them to help them understand our language? Mm-hmm. I wish in many cases that, you know, the airlines were more focused on customer service for people shipping dogs. Reality is a lot of them consider it's just a service that they do for their human customers.
Right.
It's not a priority for them.
Right.
And I think that, as I said, you know, I've had a number of phone conversations with both with Airlines for America, with IPATA, with Delta. I have had couple of brief conversations, to a less extent, with United, but sharing with them that we have a lot of expertise and experience in here.
Right.
And we are their primary customers. So bringing us on and letting us communicate with them is really helpful. And hearing your experiences is really, really helpful to us. You know, I'm sitting at the American Kennel Club and I'm thinking about my experience, but I want to hear about other people's experiences.
So we can share that with you.
Share that with me.
Share that with
you. Let us share that with the airlines. Absolutely. And by all means, share it directly with the airlines.
Right.
But I'm absolutely 110% happy to share that experience, not only with the airlines, but with the airline industry organizations, because those guys have a lot of sway, you know, across the industry.
Right, right. And it seems like we don't want to piecemeal. We don't want to go at Delta and go at United and go blah, blah, blah,
blah. They all have different perspectives.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we could talk about United. This is getting a little off perhaps the topic, but the real concern that we have with United is breed specifics.
Ugh.
So they're accepting breeds based on, frankly, an arbitrary list that the American Humane Association provided to them. American Humane Association has absolutely no experience with animal husbandry or animal science. And they're saying, well, based on what this dog looks like, we think it's going to behave as XYZ.
Right.
Typical breed-specific stuff that we deal with in legislation. Very similar. So what we're trying to do there is work with them and say, okay, let's provide you with the science. Let's provide you with a little
bit of science. Let's give you some more information.
Let's give you a little more information. And you know what? You're going to be a whole lot better at your job. You're going to be a whole lot better at customer service. People are going to like you better, and they're going to use your services. So it's really a win-win if we can get this information to them. And again, it's not like we want to beat them up. We need to explain to them and educate them.
Well, and I don't think that's ever a good solution.
Beating up is not.
Never. It's never going to be. Attacking is never going to be.
And we get people who do want to attack, and I totally get it. Believe me, that's our knee-jerk reaction. It makes companies and people defensive. Mm-hmm. The reality is these companies, you know, they're not the government. We can't make them ship our dogs.
Yep.
We have to ask them to ship our dogs. And if we attack them and threaten them, they'll just say, forget it.
Yeah.
We're not going to bother.
And that's, unfortunately, where we are.
Yeah. It really
and,
is.
And we so don't, we
our
have
choice is to be a good partner.
Right.
And to help them.
Exactly.
Or
the service dog question is a whole nother one where, you know, we could go off on the topic of why are people flying not really service dogs to the dog show?
And this is the point.
Sorry. This is something. I'm sorry. I'm going to do it. I'm going to throw this down. If you're flying not your service dog to the dog show, you are doing us all a disservice.
You're doing everybody a disservice. And people think it's a victimless crime. It is not a victimless crime. It is hurting the people who truly need those dogs. It is hurting our dogs. We talk about our working dogs and how amazing they are. When we bring dogs in there, we claim they're working dogs and they're not. They make our amazing working dogs look terrible. We take away the amazing credibility that exists there.
Right.
We're hurting the disabled people. We're hurting ourselves.
That's right.
We want to talk about how good these dogs are. We want to talk about what we're doing with our dogs. When we go in there breaking the law, committing fraud, incidentally, guys, this is fraud. This is fraud.
Yep.
We are hurting ourselves. It's understandable why people want to do it. And one of the fears that I have and one of the things that I've mentioned to some of the airline industry groups is, look, the more you restrict pets as cargo, you're creating this really unfortunate incentive for people
to commit fraud.
For people to commit fraud. Put it right out there. I'm trying
it's
to
what
I'm
it is.
To say polite.
No, we're just going to own it. We're
own
just going to put
you're
it right out there.
Creating that incentive to commit fraud, throw a fake service dog vest on a pet, and then you're really harming us. You're harming us as the fancy. You're harming us as dog breeders.
And it's everybody's working together, and they're working together at odds. It's a mess.
You know, one thing that's really interesting about the service dog issue is that we're seeing a lot of service dogs for PTSD. We're seeing them for military veterans. And first of all, see, these dogs are incredibly successful and do an amazing job.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, they're also some of the easiest service dogs to fake. So what we're seeing is people saying, well, this is my PTSD dog, because it is more difficult to fake. A seeing eye dog, guiding dog, more difficult. The problem I would ask everybody to consider, if they ever think about putting a vest on a pet or a show dog to get it to a dog show, to wherever they're going, is the people who truly need these dogs, if a dog comes up to that dog, you are harming that dog and you are closing down the world for that person who is trying to get out into the world. They've typically been closed off from the world because of their PTSD experiences.
Right.
If another dog comes up, attacks, growls, even wants to play with that dog, that's creating a very bad experience, potentially putting them in an extremely traumatic situation.
Exactly.
Those people, what we've been hearing, will not ever fly again, because now they've been traumatized by a fake dog, and on top of it, then you have the public looking at them saying, well,
are you real or are you not real?
Are you real? They're getting those looks. So as we're trying to help people who really need that help,
that's
who have legitimate dogs that can help them, this is creating incredible damage. It's kind of heartbreaking when you think of what all these people have been through.
Yeah.
And it's just, bottom line, not a victimless crime. So we ask them, don't think about that. Don't even think about committing this fraud. It's not worth it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Just don't do
just
it.
Just don't do it.
Thank you, Sheila.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know, I promised I was never going to sing again, but I'm saying, our new audiobook is available now. Whoop, yeah! Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight-line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com. And make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included. Because shipping is free, that's on me, and I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more, and this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. It may not be here tomorrow. All right, crew, we are back on Pure Dog Talk with David Fry, our friend, and he is a member of Seattle Kennel Club and actively involved as a volunteer in their dog show. And David has some pretty cool information to share with us. So tell us all about Woof by Woof West, David.
We're very excited at Seattle Kennel Club. You know, we've got a downtown venue, and so we want to try to give something back to the downtown people who've been so loyal to us. And first of all, in Seattle, of course, digital media rich Seattle, right. Amazon employs 60% of the workforce. So one of the things we thought about as we're sort of reinventing our show to include some more things in is a name change. And we came up with Woof by Woof West with a wink towards the South by Southwest, a famous conglomerate that they do in Austin, Texas every year for digital media and music yep. and all. And so we thought that would be fun. We thought that would get people's attention in Seattle, where Amazon and Google and Microsoft have such a huge presence. But one of the things we wanted to do, and we saw what was going on in Houston every year with Tom Pincus and the people at the Houston World Series of Dog Shows. We saw it earlier this year, actually, in Portland at the Rose City set of dog shows. And it's gone on other places, too, where with the blessing of the American Kennel Club, they've created a situation that they call it, My Dog Can Do That.
Right.
And it's where they bring in dogs that are not entered dogs and work with them with a trainer and see if they have some affinity maybe for agility or obedience or tricks or something. And to try to get these people involved in the world of dogs with us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time. We're concerned in you know, 27 years at Westminster and the National Dog Show in Beverly Hills. I hear it all the time that people seem to think that we're elitist because we have show dogs. And yeah, we're proud of our dogs and we work hard to show them. We're very competitive, but we're not elitist when it comes to dogs. We love them all. And this is an opportunity for us to get other people and their dogs involved. It doesn't matter if they're purebred or mixed breed or come from rescue or the pound or the shelters or whatever. We want them to be happy, to be well cared for. We want to talk to people about health. We want to talk to people about responsible ownership and just teach some fun activities to do with their dogs. So that's what we're doing.
I love it, David. And I think there's 2 points that this really just totally nails. First is dog shows are designed to serve their community. Nailed it. Second is that dog shows are a family sport. They're a sport for everyone. And in today's, as you say, world with all kinds of everything to do, digital, you name it, we're losing bandwidth, right? So this is a great way.
That's the best way to put it, yeah.
This is a great way to kind of grow our audience. And I can tell you my very, very first dog was a Beagle Dachshund Cocker Spaniel Lhasa Apso Poodle. So I'm saying.
You've been practicing that, yeah.
No, it's true.
You've been practicing that.
So everybody starts somewhere.
Well, we talked about it at a club meeting, and we've got neighbors who have Cavapoos and Golden Doodles.
Right.
We have friends who have mixed breeds. We have relatives that have rescue dogs. We see a lot of dogs on the street when we're going places. We can relate to that. We're into dogs. We want them to have a great life, no matter what their situation is or has been. But we hope that we can help them a little bit with their people. We're doing other things more than just the My Dog Can Do That. We're going to have a booth there to ask the vet.
Nice.
It's not going to be a clinical situation, but you can get in there with the vet that we have and chat with them about it and find out if it's something you need to pursue with your own vet or whatever, or maybe some little nagging issue that the vet can say, here's what you do and fix it.
And there's an attorney, right?
I have an attorney, Deborah Hamilton, that
awesome.
Many of your listeners, our listeners know as an Irish setter breeder from New York.
Awesome.
She specializes in mediation, which usually ends up being custody cases for the dogs in divorce. But she has branched out and is now getting very involved with estate planning
yes.
for your dogs.
Pure Dog Talk listeners.
What happens to your dogs if you don't come home one
yep.
night?
She's done a podcast for us. So Pure Dog Talk listeners, here's a great chance to talk one-on-one with Deborah Hamilton. She's great.
We're calling her booth after I'm gone. You know, the idea is, have you made provisions for your dog if something happens to you? You know, we all think about how we're going to take care of our dog if they pass. But what about if I don't come home? What's going to happen with my dogs? If they come and pick me off the floor and drag me out of here to put me in the morgue somewhere, I don't want somebody coming in and grabbing my dogs and taking them to the local animal shelter. I want them to have their path well lined out. We're going to have a booth for therapy dogs, obviously. I mean, I'm very involved with therapy dogs. We're going to have a booth there to talk to them about maybe your dog has some therapy dog tendencies and maybe it would be a good therapy dog. We're going to have canine good citizen testing. We're going to have our normal fare of demonstrations and, of course, of competition so people can watch that as well. Lots of vendors and in our normal routine of charity booths and rescue booths and breed booths.
Meet the breeds there is huge.
Meet the breeds. We want to introduce them to maybe they don't understand what purebred dogs are all about. And we want to be able to talk to them on a level of being polite and not being challenged. And, you know, we're all sensitive to this adopt, don't shop mentality. But I think a lot of people think that that's the way to go without ever considering purebred dogs as well. If you want to adopt a dog because it's the right dog for you, that's fine. But if you want to hear about purebred dogs and why they might be the right dog for you, we want to be able to tell you that. And so that's why we're keeping the Seattle Dog Show with it, the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show. It is called Woof by Woof West, presented by the Seattle Kennel Club. And part of that celebration is the dog show itself. We're still going to have agility. We're still going to have obedience. We're just going to have a bunch of other people wandering around in there. But we kind of restrict where they can go. They can't get into the grooming area. We're going to restrict the middle aisles in the confirmation rings. And we're going to keep them away from the obedience and rally people. We all understand that if we've ever walked by the obedience or rally rings at a dog show.
Yes.
So we want to respect that because they're in competition and they don't need to be distracted or made crazy. But we want people to come and have fun. We're going to do everything we can to show them a good time and have them think about something else they can do with their dog and how they can be a better owner and take care of their dog, keep them healthy.
Excellent. Just one quick little plug for you. You'll be just coming back from Beverly Hills Kennel Club, right?
We're shooting at Beverly Hills at the Kennel Club of Beverly Hills on March 2nd and 3rd this year. They just got their entry. They have 300 more dogs over the 2 days than they had last year. They've got 11 specialties on Friday, March 1st. Including, once again, they've come together with the Great Western Terrier Club.
Yeah, Great Western is fabulous.
Yeah, they're doing two shows on Friday. And then we have Kennel Club of Beverly Hills on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's show is being shot and will be shown on Easter Sunday, which is April 21st, as the Beverly Hills Dog Show.
Nice.
And this will be the third year of that show. John O'Hurley and me, along with Mary Carrillo, working in the back and talking to people in the back. And John and I calling the shots on the competition. We had a nice audience last year. We're working hard at it this year. It's going to be on NBC only, not USA.
Okay.
NBC at 10 o'clock Pacific time on Easter Sunday and 1 o'clock Eastern time. And if you're in one of the other time zones, you're going to have to figure out your own times in there, how that affects you. But
we're not doing the math, man.
I don't want to challenge anybody here. I got enough trouble figuring out if I'm the fourth in line in the open class, where do I go?
Exactly.
You know, so you let somebody else point you in the direction of your watch. But
excellent.
Yeah, Beverly Hills coming up. That's going to be great fun. And then the week after that is Seattle Kennel Club.
Perfect.
And we know that's going to be fun, too. And we're doing everything we can to hold our downtown venue. We're steps away from CenturyLink Field, where the Seahawks and the Seattle Sounders, the soccer team, play.
Right.
We're 20 steps away from what is now T-Mobile Field, which is where the Mariners play. So we like being downtown. We have to do something to be able to hold that ground. We have to be able to get more people in there and have more support for what we're doing. And we hope that this is a way to do that. And we hope that people, dog show people, and people when they're dogs alike will come there and help us, first of all, get our messages out. And secondly, keep our downtown site so everybody can get to us.
Excellent. All right, David, thanks so much. Sure appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Laura.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk.
Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.